Attorney General Brad Schimmel has been in office 6 months, and it's been a very newsworthy 6 months. So it's a great time to do a Newsmakers interview with Attorney General Brad Schimmel. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, at some point, I'm going to ask you how I like the job, but it's way down on the list. So can we start with some newsworthy stuff?
Sure.
Okay. As you're well aware, the murders in Milwaukee have doubled. And I find a provision in the Joint Finance final amendment to the budget, which says, we're going to add two assistant attorney generals, and I'm now quoting on the language, to prosecute cases related to gun violence and other offenses involving the use of firearms. That's got DOJ all over it. What's the nexus there?
The nexus is directly that we're using this to go after the gun violence problem in Milwaukee. And this is one piece of it. This is part of the state's commitment. I've been meeting with leaders from Milwaukee for months now. We didn't just figure this out in the last couple of days that there's a big problem. And we're all putting a piece into this. This is part of the state's commitment to it. The other pieces will come out very soon. We're very close to finalizing how we're going to do this. A very comprehensive plan. You know, I went on a ride along in Milwaukee on the north side earlier this year. I just wanted to check it out. You know, I grew up in the Milwaukee suburbs, but you don't really know. You see the news. That's not always a clear view of what the real community's like. I'd met with church leaders from Milwaukee who had urged me, you know, please don't view our neighborhoods based on the people committing these terrible crimes. That's a small minority of them. So I went on that ride along, and I found confirmation of that message, that the majority of the people who live in those neighborhoods are trying very hard to have a safe place to raise their kids and to go to work every day and take care of their homes. And we owe it to them to do something to make their community safer, because in certain districts in Milwaukee, certain police districts in Milwaukee, you're guaranteed on a ride-along to respond to a gunfire call. That's unbelievable. Almost every single night.
Did you have to wear the vest on that ride-along?
Sure, absolutely.
You did.
And even with that on, if we were going into a situation where there had been shots fired, I wasn't getting out of the vehicle until everybody was very sure that there was no more danger.
Milwaukee doubling the murder rate, most of the victims, of course, with handguns. Can you be more specific on what two assistant attorney generals would focus on, sir?
This piece from the state is going to involve designated gun violence prosecutors. Now the Milwaukee police chief is going to be playing a role in giving us some resources for that. The Milwaukee DA will have a role in this, even the U.S. attorney, the State Department of Corrections. We've got everybody that's involved in the criminal justice system at the table ready to have a piece of finding a solution here.
The Joint Finance Amendment says that this money, this $220,000, would be released after DOJ submits a plan to spend it. What are going to be the elements in that plan, General?
Well, that's what we're finalizing with all the players involved. And I don't want to grandstand on this. I'm not riding in on a white horse and solving this problem all by myself. There are quite a few individuals who have a stake in this, who are going to be participating in this. And when this information comes out, we're going to do this as a group and share with the state, and particularly the people of Milwaukee, what we're going to do that I believe has real strong hope for making the difference.
When Wisconsin Eyes interviewed Chief Flynn, he's repeatedly cited loopholes in the laws. Do you think these loopholes are the reason, perhaps, that Milwaukee's murder rate has doubled, or are there other factors?
Certainly there may be legislative changes that can help down the road. Right now, those of us who are law enforcement leaders, we see a different role for ourselves, and that is to make sure if you use a gun for violence, we're going to find you, we're going to prosecute you, and we're going to hold you accountable. And that's the message we're going to have them receive very quickly if all goes well.
Well, clearly you don't want to get out ahead of local Milwaukee leaders and the U.S. attorney. How soon do you hope to announce this major initiative?
We have a meeting next week, and hopefully we'll be able to move very close to finalizing everything.
You don't want to spill any more beans on that subject,
no,
do you?
It's coming. Hang in there with us, though.
Okay, I understand. Can we talk about this open record exemption that was added at 5 o'clock last Thursday
Yeah.
by Joint Finance? Were you consulted before that? Did anybody run that by you, the language?
No.
Should they have?
You know, we're always here to help, and I've been working hard as the Attorney General to let the legislature know that they have a law firm, and we're here for them. We're happy to consult. In the future, if they want to discuss any of these issues, I'm happy to be part of it. I'm pleased that this has come out, that we're no longer moving down this road. But I do acknowledge that we are due for a conversation in Wisconsin about the nature of our public records or open government laws. These laws were enacted in 1981, long before we had any idea we're going to have some of the electronic communications we have now. Many of the things that we do now that are second nature to how we do our jobs simply weren't addressed in that law. And so that's why I've done two things. One is I established the Office of Open Government at the Department of Justice, because government bodies statewide turn to us for advice and leadership on this issue. And the first thing I want to do is make sure that we're sending a consistent message and that our house is in order. And so we're working very hard to make sure that we're leading by example, and that if anyone wants to see what our best practice is, they can look right to the Department of Justice to see how you best handle openness efficiently. The second thing we're doing is later this month, on the 29th, we are doing our Open Government Summit. And I hope you'll be able to attend.
Wisconsin does plan to cover that.
Good. We're going to sit down with stakeholders from all areas of this. And our hope is that we can search for some consensus areas where we can find common sense changes. You know, the law doesn't address whether a member of a local municipal board can appear at a meeting via Skype. And they're looking for guidance out there. It really doesn't address what we do with when officers wear body cameras or even dashboard cameras. It doesn't address where are the limits? Because there's a tough line to draw there. When you talk about an officer recording everything they do all day, well, you're going to have an awful lot of interactions with innocent citizens or victims who have good reason to have what they're doing private, or confidential informants that are important sources of information, but certainly we can't release that publicly. We have to figure out where to draw those lines and give better advice to the government officials out there doing this. And let the people who are seeking public information about their government have an easier way to predict what they're entitled to and what they're not entitled to.
Within hours after Joint Finance added that language, well, it was one of 67 provisions in the wrap-up motion. You issued a statement. Why did you feel so strongly that, if signed into law, would have been bad policy and bad law, sir?
You know, my attitude at the Department of Justice is, I don't have anything to hide. When I look at what we release to the public and what we don't release to the public, I make that decision based on what I must withhold, not what I can withhold. And I think Wisconsin's government functions better when we have that kind of openness. So I felt compelled to do it. I don't enjoy calling out legislators of either party. But I promised the people of Wisconsin when I ran for Attorney General that I would be independent and I would do the right thing without regard to whose idea it was if I have to criticize someone.
Okay. Have you asked or have you been told who sponsored that? Because we in the Capitol Press Corps can't get that answer.
I don't have that information, no.
I understand.
And I don't want to know at this point.
Okay. Because you're satisfied that it's coming out.
Yeah.
And you would welcome the Ledge Council study of the whole issue because...
Yep.
As you said, there's a lot of issues that have emerged with technology
that
need to be addressed.
With things like the Milwaukee gun violence problem, we could spend a lot of time looking for who's to blame, or we could focus on solving the problem. Same thing with this. I'm not interested in looking backward to find who's to blame. I'm interested in looking forward to making sure we go down a better path.
A follow-up on the Milwaukee gun violence issue. ShotSpotter. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yes.
Pretty effective program?
It's remarkable. When I was out on the ride along, we were right in the squad car we were in. We could get the alert over the mobile data computer in there. We could get an alert. We could actually hear the shots, and you could see them triangulated where they occurred We counted 23 shots. We drove to the location where it happened. We weren't the first squad there. The first officer there found no one around to interview, to talk about it, but that officer was able to walk right to the area where he found almost all but one of the shell casings.
The night you're on the ride along, there was one shooting incident with 23 shots?
We found 23. There were 24 shots. He found 23. That was one of them, and that, based on the shot spotter data, was a shootout between two people, between at least more than one gun. We went to two other shot spotter hits that night.
The governor just signed into law two new gun laws, waiving the 48-hour provision. He didn't think that this would contribute to more urban violence in Milwaukee. Do you have the same opinion that it won't kill more people?
Yeah, making things more difficult for law-abiding gun owners isn't going to do anything to change what's happening in Milwaukee right now. The people doing these shootings, the majority of them already have prohibitions against having a firearm. They've made decisions to lead a criminal lifestyle, and the way we're going to get them is to use our law enforcement resources to get them, lock them up. We're going to have to.
Okay, new subject. The dramatic expansion of who must give DNA samples. Do you have figures? How many more DNA kits have been sent to the crime lab, or a percentage increase as a result of this expansion, General?
Just under 6,000 in these first couple months.
And how does that compare?
Well, these are 6,000 samples we weren't getting before.
Okay, so 6,000 more samples.
Yes.
Is that higher than the estimates?
I don't even know what the estimates were. This law was in place when I took office. My role has been in the early months of being in office to kind of shepherd DOJ through being ready to handle this. And I'm very proud of the crime lab. They've handled this expertly. We're not facing any delays or problems with this. And this doesn't bleed over into our other DNA work. This is a separate part of the process at the crime lab. So this isn't going to slow down the work we're doing to investigate ongoing, to handle ongoing criminal investigations.
And this is 6,000 more samples just in the first 2 months of the new law?
Yeah, we started April 1st, right?
Yeah, April and May. Wow.
Well, no, June also. This is up through June 26th.
Okay, so 3 months.
Yeah.
And there is no backlog as a result of sending more DNA kits to the crime lab?
No. And as a matter of fact, with these, much of the testing is done by outside labs that we contract with, and they handle the volume. And what happens is if we get a hit that causes us to want to dig deeper on something, then our crime lab analysts will do that work so that we can be prepared to testify in court if that happens.
Have you had any hits that's resulted in the filing of new charges as a result of this new law, more DNA testing, Judge?
I'm not aware of anything that's gotten to that level yet, no.
Okay, so it's working well?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's talk about lessons learned by DOJ, by yourself, as a result of the new officer-involved shooting law.
Okay.
Is it fair to say there were a lot more officer-involved shootings that DOJ had to investigate than you anticipated from a financial standpoint, from an investigative management standpoint?
Based on the law that was passed a year ago in April, we knew that this was going to increase. And when I came into office, I was expecting that law enforcement was going to be turning to DOJ. And it's in part because of the law change that put stronger restrictions on how these investigations are done. But frankly, it had a lot more to do with the events of the second half of 2014 nationwide, mm-hmm. that really led many of the law enforcement agencies in the state that were already handling them for each other have simply decided they don't want the publicity, they don't want the danger of, if the New Berlin Police Department handles this for the city of Waukesha, well, they're still neighbors. So they've decided that it makes more sense to send it to DOJ. And these are not, fortunately, these are not investigations that most police departments do every day. They don't have a skill set for it like really two agencies in the state that do enough of these that they're very good at it, and that's the Milwaukee Police Department and the Wisconsin Department of Justice. At this point, we're the two that do the lion's share of these investigations, and we have people that are very skilled at it.
Have the number of OID cases, has it been a drain on DOJ resources more than you had anticipated, sir?
Not more than I anticipated. I knew it was going to be significant, and it is. For instance, with the unfortunate death of Tony Robbins here in Madison, we sent out nearly two dozen investigators and crime lab analysts to work that scene, and they were at it all weekend and into the next week. We knew that these were going to be resource intensive, but that's absolutely necessary. I can't think of anything where public confidence in the outcome of an investigation is more important than when a law enforcement officer uses deadly force. So we are approaching these, putting everything we can on it to make sure we pick up every rock. We talk to every person who knows anything about what it might have happened. So when we send the case to the DA can know that they've got the whole investigation, they've got what they need to make a good call.
So up to 24 DOJ employees were right. assigned to Tony Robinson. They weren't doing other things that they would have been doing. Has that hindered crime solving by DOJ in any significant way?
There's always more we can do. There's no question. The more undercover operations we can run to try to catch predators online, the more of them we can catch. You always have to strike that balance. And we're always assessing priorities. What is the most important thing for us to focus on right now? And when you have an officer-involved death, that's the most important thing right now.
A Milwaukee EMT was just recently grazed by a bullet responding to someone who could not breathe. Is it more dangerous out there for our police officers and EMT and firefighters?
It is. And one of the things we did every year, the Department of Justice has a public safety summit. We just did that a few weeks ago. And as we were planning this earlier this year, we decided very much to focus on officer wellness. We did a lot on how to handle critical incident investigations, how to handle managing the media interest, which is much, much stronger now than it had been in recent years. The scrutiny is a much higher level, and officers need to be thinking about how to handle the different scrutiny. And then also officer wellness, because I think we take for granted that decisions to use deadly force or seeing very ugly things that people do to each other, unfortunately sometimes, that's just part of the job and the officer just washes that away. Years ago officers largely dealt with that with alcohol, and it led to some very unhealthy end results. Well, officers they're physically more healthy now. They don't turn to alcohol to handle that stress as much as they used to. We've got to make sure we fill that gap. And so we focused a lot at our summit on officer wellness because it is a dangerous job, and for firefighters too. And it's also a psychologically and emotionally taxing job. So we've got to make sure that first they get home physically safe at the end of every shift, but then also that we're taking care of them long-term on a wellness side.
But overall, Wisconsin's first in the nation law saying that outside agencies must investigate OID is working well, General?
Yes, it was a very well-crafted law. And I am pleased to say that many of the law enforcement agencies, especially the bigger ones in the state, were already engaging in many of those practices. But to make it mandatory, it was great timing under the circumstances, but it was a good idea.
There is one paragraph in the last amendment added by Joint Finance. It deals with cleaning up language in terms of records and mm-hmm. OID deaths. Is that a big deal? Is that something DOJ sought?
Yes, we did, because there was one hiccup in the law from last year. Is it left conflicting language in the statutes? One where it talked about a complete report, but then we also have certain parts under the law that we must redact, or we really should redact, like the home address of an officer involved. We aren't going to release that information publicly. Mm-hmm. You want to reach the officer, you can find him at their police station. You don't need to go to their home. So we wanted to clear that conflict up. This will not change at all what's being produced. We've been acting in our releases on these reports. We've been redacting the things that we must redact already. So nothing's going to change.
And then one other provision in that last Joint Finance Amendment, it deals with CCAP records. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you support? Is that something DOJ asked for, General?
It wasn't something we sought. I'm told that has been pulled out.
Really?
I don't think we're going to be dealing with that.
Okay. Well, now, 6 months later, how do you like the job?
This is an amazing opportunity. I'm very grateful to the people of Wisconsin for granting me this opportunity to serve them in this way. And I'm very grateful to my family for enduring it, because that was a tough ride for them. For the last 5 months of the campaign last year, they almost never saw me, and unless they went with me wherever I was going campaigning. My staff at the Waukesha DA's office helped make sure that I was able to balance running the DA's office and getting out and campaigning for this important role. So I'm very grateful to all the people who helped make this possible, and I'm committed that at the end of this term, Wisconsin's going to look back and be glad that they gave me this opportunity to serve them.
Yeah, but are you able to play in your band again?
I am. We just started up. We took a little hiatus because I got a little busy there.
Yeah.
But a couple weeks ago, we started playing again. And we've got a number of festival gigs coming up throughout the summer now.
You got any gigs booked in the 2017, 2018 in the new Milwaukee Bucks arena?
Do not.
Do you support that arena?
I do, personally.
Do you?
You know, politically, this isn't my policy call.
I know.
I think for the state, it doesn't, you know, the costs to the state aren't going to be enormous. And I do think it's really important to the economy in the city of Milwaukee.
Very good. Attorney General Brad Schimmel, thanks for the 6-month update.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.